is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Tuesday, May 23rd, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host today. Port. What port are we talking about? The cruise port, right? Now, big things are happening downtown Bay Street. The cruise port's supposed to be opening this week, I think. Yeah, this week, Monday. Tourists are supposed to be coming out and experiencing what is it in the port. But the question is, what is it in the port? I haven't gotten a tour as yet. I am about to get this tour. But before that, before I preempt all of that, I have Guardian News editor, Miss Candia Deems, who was there. She was happened to get an official tour and see what it is that this cruise port, which is being touted as the best cruise port for the entire Caribbean region, right? Has all of the amenities. It has catapulted the Bahamas into a new realm. And I'm trying to say, what exactly is there? So I needed someone who has experienced it firsthand. So I said, oh, Kendi, you busy? And she said, yes, I am busy. And I said, yeah, but are you busy, busy? And he said, yes, I am busy, busy. And I said, can I guilt trip you to come on for 10 minutes? And I said, make it extend to 10 and 20 and 30 minutes. But the idea is she has agreed to sit with me and just to explain her experiences of going to the port. So those behemoths who haven't seen it yet, who hasn't envisioned the possibilities of the new cruise port for Bay Street and what it can offer us, I'm having her here to envision it until I reach Bay Street, till I find out where I'm going to park to walk through it. So without further ado, let me have Candia come on. Hi, Candia.
Hi.
Yeah, Candia's mic is on, yes. I can hear out from my mic. Go ahead again, Candia. Can you hear me?
Hi, good morning.
Yes, very good.
Morning. And good morning to your, our listening audience. Good morning.
And thank you very much for agreeing. And I know you are busy. I see you typing like crazy and doing all kinds of research. But you've recently toured the port. How did that come about?
I just asked for a tour.
Just for that?
I think you would be much better positioned to have an official from Nassau Cruise Port sitting where I'm sitting today. So I know that this is a tremendously busy week for them, but perhaps you can have them on soon just to talk about some of the things that they have planned, because I don't want to come across as the PR agent for the port. But yeah, I did do a tour last week, Monday, actually.
Okay.
And it was only because I asked to tour the port 2 years ago, in fact. I toured it when it was just that white dirt and the dredging going on. And so I wanted to be able to do that again to see, you know, what the port is today. And I remember being, I'm thinking I'm going to have a lot of white dirt and muck and all that type thing. And that indeed was not the case, because, of course, it is very, very close to being completed. They were only putting on the finishing touches on different buildings. Most of the buildings, I think, are, if not all, already painted already. And, you know, as a Bahamian, I was there in my capacity as a journalist, but I did feel, I would admit, a sense of pride that we have something of this, you know, that is first class, that is so modern, this facility in the port of Nassau. And, you know, I think that it would only be a benefit for our cruise, or really our tourism product.
You mentioned that you had felt a sense of pride walking in. I want to explore that. Just walking in as a Bahamian, this is your first official tour, going in as a finished product. Mm-hmm. What was your feeling just seeing it for the first time?
Well, so I entered from the eastern side of the port. So when you walk in, interestingly, they still have the statue Madonna and Child.
Nice.
There, I posted a photo of it. It was commissioned by then Prime Minister Pindling in, I think, 1974 or something like that, before I was born. I'm not sure if you were around yet. It's, you know, the port, the cruise port, was built around Madonna and Child. Mm-hmm. And they've hired they're funding an artist or a sculptor to restore mm-hmm. that statue, which honors the Bahamian woman.
Yes.
And so it's good to see that even though we have this modern facility that has been built around Madonna and Child, that this element of history is still there. It's a talking point. It's something, you know, that we can look at and be proud that it, in fact, is going to be restored. Mm-hmm. And so when we walked into the facility, and I was very grateful that I had four senior officials of the cruise port who came out in the sun to show me around. I was joined by my colleagues, Chester Robard from our business section, and also Terrell Glinton, who was there taking photographs. And I think Terrell was also the photographer with me 2 years ago when I first toured the construction site at the cruise port. And so one of the things, there are now six at the port. The dredging that took place on the eastern end, the fill from that was used to fill out a lot of the area on the western end. I hope I got that correctly. And so now the cruise port will be able to accommodate at the same time. I think it's a total of six ships, but it's three Icon class ships. I think Icon is the new largest super ships, mm-hmm. That they will be able to accommodate. And those ships bring in, I think, something like 7,000 plus mm-hmm. Passengers and 2,000 crew members. We don't think about the crew often, but as Mike Mora, who's the CEO of the port, pointed out, that the business from the crew is also important because they are the ones who come back almost like on a weekly basis to the port. So the entrance of the port, where there's this this area, it's a breezeway. There's this humongous digital screen that's advertising what to do in the Bahamas, to do in Nassau, what the islands of the Bahamas. It's giving guests, the first thing they see upon arrival is this, I think it's like a 55-foot digital screen, and there are two of those screens there at the port. And Erna for the port, because advertisers themselves can use it to advertise. So that seemed pretty cool to me. And then so there's this huge space, which is a modern facility building. I didn't actually go inside the building, but it's where you would find the offices of customs and the customs, I think, immigration people, the security agencies that are there, Defense Force,
Before you
police.
Go on with that, how many buildings did you see? I mean, is this one huge building?
Well, there's more of the port facility is almost like a city within a city, right?
So it's grand.
So this is this grand building, which is where the offices are located. Okay. There's the offices of the Nassau Cruise Port, mm-hmm. the customs, mm-hmm. Security agencies, as well as a medical facility, a pharmacy, an office for the Ministry of Tourism, a logo shop where they're going to be selling tourism-branded logo products. And I am sure that I'm forgetting offices for the ship agents, mm-hmm. all located in this new modern facility. And so that's sort of the entrance. When you come off the ships, you go through this breezeway, and then you get into that cruise port itself with all the buildings and shops and all of that. And there's what seems to be, because it was not quite complete when we were there last week, in terms of, you know, they were still doing some interior stuff. But there's a grand space, and I think that this should be pretty exciting for the cultural enthusiasts. Grand Junkanoo Museum.
Okay, and describe what you mean by grand space. I'm assuming that you...
Well, what I mean is that there, it's a building that would be able to, will be able to accommodate, it appears, a lot, a good number of Junkanoo costumes, and they're supposed to be actually an experience where guests can, it's like an interactive, immersive experience, where there's like digital experiences with Junkanoo. I think there's a plan for them to have some live Junkanoo out there as well. And I think when I said that I felt proud as a Bahamian, I said that because I, as a Bahamian, I appreciated the this whole theme that's running through the space, and that is the authentically Bahamian experience. So you start, you have the Junkanoo Museum, then you go into this whole area that is the Port Plaza, where you'll find your vendors. I think most of them were at the original festival place. They were temporarily relocated while the port was under construction over the last 3 years or so. So they will be in this space where they have actual kind of, you know, they're not in shacks. They almost have their own little storefront set up. I was told by the cruise port executives who are giving the tour that they hired a merchandising specialist to help these individuals improve how they present their products, and to, you know, they're going to operate from that space in what's supposed to be a very organized and professional environment. Apparently there was a, I don't know if it was a workshop or some event that involved Family Island artisans who were, you know, this connection was made between them and the vendors who are going to be operating from that space, so that they have access to authentically Bahamian brands.
And raw materials.
And raw materials and all of that, I would imagine. And that whole area is, you, they are only going to sell authentically Bahamian brands out there, which is very interesting. And I also posted on Facebook, and this got huge reaction, and understandably so, that Pam Burnside, who I think most Bahamians know as just this, you know, this nationalist, culturalist, very committed to all things Bahamian.
An advocate, for sure.
An advocate, to be sure. Actually, I was sitting there going over a letter to the editor that she just sent. And Pam Burnside is going to head this committee that is tasked with ensuring that the authentically Bahamian theme is maintained, that the goods will be all Bahamian, that the vendors will be selling out there. And so that was interesting to see. And then, you know, when you, apart from the plaza, there's a whole space, I think they call that, I know that that area with the vendors, I'm going from memory, I think that's called the marketplace. And then there's a port plaza that, interestingly, is where you're going to find all these shops and stores that are all Bahamian branded stores. So you'll see Bahari and Grey Cliff and Bahama Handprints. Those stores will all be out there, where, you know, you have these offerings and a taste of the Bahamas in those various shops.
I want to ask you this. In terms of leaving the cruise ship, exiting the cruise ship and walking towards Bay Street, is there like a constant flow that you start this way and you continue to move the land so you can see everything?
Yes, but I think from what I recall, I think that there were multiple exit points from what I recall. You know, the issues, you know, that that is a facility, obviously, where security is utmost priority. So, you know, in addition to that building I told you about where you have the security agencies, there's also a police outpost which is a lovely pink island-style building, mm-hmm. a defense force outpost, which is green building. But there are different exit points from what I could tell. I could be wrong. So in addition to the vendors and the Bahamians, mm-hmm. the people who are going to be operating the stores, there's also this new hair braiders facility.
Really?
So there's an entire pavilion just for the hair braiders. They're going to be in uniforms. They are going to have a rotational system. There's not something that's supposed to be permitted out there, any yelling and harassment. That is all. There's actually a code of conduct for that space, which is supposed to make it this family-friendly environment.
Just off the cuff, is mm-hmm. the hair braiders independently persons, or they worked for a company, and that's why there'll be no haggling, because they're all employed?
No, I don't think that they all work for the same company. I think that there is an association of them, but I don't think it's... And I think it's supposed to be 34 of them or something like that. And so... It's supposed to be like a rotational thing. So if you're number 34, you won't necessarily be disadvantaged.
Okay.
And there is a whole, you know, Ed feels, we know Ed don't play, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Ed is in charge of business development, and he's been meeting with all of the different stakeholders, like the hair braiding people, the...
Business development off the port, the cruise port.
Yes. Okay. The taxi cab union. You know, I've seen people say... that, this is just going to encourage tourists just to stay away from the area outside of the port. Any area in Nassau outside of the port is going to be disadvantaged by this cruise port. I've seen that argument. But I find that argument interesting, given that the cruise port made to establish this very elaborate space for ground transportation, where you can walk, you can actually show up at your tour already booked. There's a special call-up system for the taxi cab drivers. There's a whole space out there just for ground transportation. That's, you know, and Ed stressed that the thing here at the port is that it's meant to be a very organized, orderly system with not just ground transportation, but with everything.
Mm-hmm.
And as Mike Mora told us, there's a code of conduct that individuals operating from that space are going to be required to adhere to. And I think they have to sign on to something, if I remember correctly. And then, of course, there's a In addition to the Giancana Museum, there's a whole space with a wine bar, CA.
Is it a wine bar?
That's an art gallery. So you can come into that space and you can view Bahamian art, not just cruise passengers, but this is all also open to the public, actually, this space. Not just the art gallery, but the entire space.
The mall. I put in a cruise mall.
The cruise mall. And the curator is Antonius Roberts.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that is going to be a quality experience. And that is going to be a space not just for, Antonius Roberts' works, but it's for Bahamian artists, for mm-hmm. their works to be on display. There's supposed to be art classes and an interactive experience for interested people out there, and a wine bar, as I said, that's a part of the art gallery.
Twice you mentioned that now.
That's a part of the art gallery. And then some eateries, you know, local eateries. I said in my post, because this one stood out to me, the Chef Simeon Hall, who's going to be out there. It's supposed to be a bamboo shack, some other eateries, and then there's a more high-end restaurant that's been constructed, although we were told last week that the cruise port had not yet signed on to an operator for the restaurant. And I think that the most imposing structure for people driving in the facility of the port is the amphitheater, where that's going to be the site of a lot of entertainment. The cruise port has hired, I think, is it Zamar? I hope I got that right. And Zamar is supposed to be responsible for managing that space. It's the only permanent stage in the Bahamas. And so outside promoters could book the space for concerts. And I think that Zamar has to produce 4 concerts per year under their contract with the cruise port. And
but I want to stop you there and ask about parking. I did ask you about parking on your page.
You know, when we asked Ed feels about parking, you know, Ed said, you know, Bahamians are spoiled into feeling, and I'm like this too. You know, when I visit friends abroad and you got to walk like 10 blocks just to get to the tube at a train station, you're like, holy hell, are we still walking? We're so accustomed to just, you know, walking out of our doors and driving right up front to wherever we're going, that there is this big concern about, well, where's the parking? There's a parking space that they did identify when I asked about it. I think it's in the area of, I don't want to say because I may get it wrong, but I think it's the old Kelly Dock area or something. Okay. There's some parking there. The point is available, and parking around downtown, and you know, this hopefully this whole port experience is a catalyst for the upgrade of the entire downtown area. Interestingly, we have been told that there is legislation before the Attorney General for the establishment of an authority or management committee of some sort for the downtown area.
I heard that.
And Ed wears 2 hats because he's also a director of the Downtown Nassau Partnership and also the business consultant for the port. So I think that we may see some movement in terms of some improvements generally. I know as Bahamians, we're skeptical, and we have every right to be, because we've heard repeatedly from successive administrations that, you know, the upgrade of downtown Nassau is on the way. But, you know, there are some things happening. Having a first-class cruise port is a part of the upgrade of downtown Nassau. We have this state-of-the-art facility, the U.S. Embassy, that's being constructed. We have, we see that the central bank, the new central bank...
Has been canceled.
But there are things that are happening that are, and of course, the point being one of them, that are improving downtown. Folks are in talks with the Ministry of Works officials in terms of some street upgrades around that area, because we all know the sidewalks are badly damaged. They're not conducive to disabled travelers or residents who would be frequenting that area. And so there is work to do, but I see a new port facility as actually a plus. You know, when I was on the western end of the port, it's almost like the view of the downtown straw market almost gave the impression that the straw market was a part of the space. So the taxi ferries, the water ferries, will be dropping their passengers off on the western docking side, which is literally almost right into the mouth of the back of the straw market. And I did an interview with the Straw Market Association president, because I was interested in finding out, you know, we actually need to go into the market and speak with more vendors. But I did speak with the Miss Enius, who is the Straw Market Association president, and she told me that she was due to have a tour early this week of the cruise port, actually. And she's been talking with cruise ports on how they can work together to help even improve the market. And she's quite hopeful that an improved port is going to mean more people coming off these ships. And, I mean, spilling over into the straw market.
The port is pretty. Definitely
people interested. There are 4.2 million visitors expected to come into the port of Nassau this year alone. I mean, that is not an insignificant number. And so, you know, we'll... you know, Messini has actually said something that I thought was very interesting. And I said, well, do you think that this is going to be bad news for the straw market? And she said, no, because our understanding is that they're going to be selling authentically Bahamian products. And most vendors at the straw market don't do that. So we don't expect that kind of competition. Interestingly, there's also an international bazaar at the cruise port. So there is an area that is going to be selling brands and wares from different parts of, but it's not, you know, so that the this is very neatly and laid out in a very organized fashion. So it's not that everything's just crowded together. They're very clear spaces for different experiences. So you can have the experience with the that whole entertainment area with the amphitheater and the permanent stage. And one thing that Chest and I did ask about was the entertainment that's planned for the opening. It's a
big party.
It's a 3-day opening, actually. So that should be pretty nice. I think Chest and I will be checking it out. There's going to be an all Bahamian concert on Friday night, I think it is, as a part of the opening. And I mean, the thinking of the cruise port officials, as told to us, was that it would be contradictory. I think that they did consider, oh, should we bring in like a big international artist for this opening? But that would be contradictory to all that they're trying to achieve out there. And that is this Bahamian experience. And so they are using Bahamian entertainers as a part of the opening. And I have no doubt that that's going to be an absolute treat for all who are there to experience it. And so that is, in a nutshell, what I gleaned from my walk through the port. And we were very grateful that the cruise port officials obliged and gave us a tour. It was, oh, come here so you can give us some PR. But it was really us as journalists wanting to see what they had actually created based on what the plan has been or is for the area. And the original tour we did, when it was just all just purely dirt, and it had not yet, you know, taken any shape whatsoever. And we didn't talk about this, but I think in a way the pandemic was a blessing, if I already can use that word without being insensitive, because, you know, for many people, we know that it was not a blessing. It was not a blessing for many. It was not a blessing for the economy. But it did allow, I think the construction continued apace while ships weren't coming in. And so here we are, and we're going to, as I said, check out the opening. And we're also going to monitor from time to time whether the port is living up to all that it's being built and planned. It's being built, as I said, as this, that's B-I-L-L-E-D, as this authentically Bahamian experience. And so, yeah, I think that for Bahamians, it's a plus.
I know you blogged about your experience on your. What were a number of concerns generally that you had explained?
Generally, of course, there is this concern, and well, first of all, there's this, people are irritated because they want to know, well, what's happening for the rest of downtown. We're just sick of hearing that change is coming. And while we don't think ourselves that this change is happening fast enough, there are incremental changes that are happening. Some of those derelict, not vehicles, but buildings have been torn down. I think more is slated to be torn down. I think of this legislation that we've heard about, if the government does indeed have the political will to bring that to to Parliament and push it through and get this committee authority established. I think it would be a positive. I mean, again, we need to see what the specific plan is. But people are concerned. I mean, as I said, there are people who, and we heard this expressed in Parliament last week by Jomo Campbell, his concern that this is going to kill the rest of Bay Street. Well, you know what? I think that's a silly argument. I think it's like saying, oh, we shouldn't have a nice port because we wanna preserve the current business levels that we have, which, if you think about it, it doesn't make a lot of sense, because the point is that you're not getting the numbers of people off the ships. You know, I think the Royal Caribbean president told us when we interviewed him that Nassau is like at the bottom in terms of visitor satisfaction experiences. And so I see that argument about what this is going to mean for the rest of downtown. And hopefully this will mean that, you know, more of these property owners will begin investing in their properties. And I mean, and creating a win-win experience. You know, we also need to improve the visitor experience even outside of Bay Street. We all know that. I mean, I am dumbfounded as to why no administration is placing any real focus or resources on these heritage sites that we have. Mm. You know, the water tower and the various forts, and you know, those are treasures that really could help improve and drive the visitor experience. We know that there was a deal entered into by the former administration, a private grouping, for the upgrade of those heritage sites, but the new administration, which the PLP in opposition, Philip Davis, the current Prime Minister Davis, did express concern about that deal, and it was stop reviewed and canceled, essentially. No formal announcement regarding any cancellation, but it's been a year and a half or more now, and there's no movement on that. But I think that whether it's that particular PPP or another particular arrangement, I do think and hope and pray that there is some movement in terms of upgrading those heritage sites, not just for the cruise visitors and the other tourists, but for Bahamians, you know, for our children, for them to have a sense of history, a sense of connection to those sites. I mean, do you really want to take your children to some of those sites right now?
Mm. Interesting. I agree. You mentioned the term PPP. The cruise port is a PPP. Can you just briefly explain the... No, you want to mention that? Because I know it's 40, 49, 48.
Yeah, there's an opportunity for Bahamians, and many Bahamians have invested in the cruise port. You know, they're shareholders
in
there. This is an incredible opportunity for people to become. I don't have the breakdown in front of me. I was going to pull it up because I don't want to make a mistake.
No, but forgive me for that.
It's a, you know, public-private partnership. And, you know, this is just a wonderful example of what these kinds of PPP arrangements can produce when you allow private involvement to develop. And I know that because, you know, the government can't do everything. Mm-hmm. The government's resources are very limited, as we know. We saw this with LPIA and the development of LPIA, and we were finally able to get a first-class facility. We're seeing this plan now for GBIA in Grand Bahama. And hopefully that gets going and moves on, because Grand Bahama desperately needs a first-class airport in order to drive its economy there. And so, yeah, the cruise port is a public-private partnership arrangement that was entered into by the former administration. And when the imminent September 2021, they did everything that was necessary to facilitate the ongoing construction and development of the cruise port. So, yeah.
Yeah. We're going to take a break. I mean, I have some text, right? But you already answered all of those. And I'm not sure if I'm going to even have anyone call in today because I wanted the information to go fluid, what you're doing now, and I appreciate that. But I'll take a brief break right now. And
oh, so I get to leave now?
No, I'm dressed now. I'm going to see if I can keep you for another 3 minutes.
Okay.
3 minutes, right? That's 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. That's 3 minutes, right? Producer Patrick's on to a break there for you.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Of course, I have the legendary Kendia Diems. That's what a texter.
You flatter me, so.
The texter said, you were able to secure us, Kendia, to come on. I said, yes, she knows me. She was my lecturer when I was young.
Really, that's right.
Yeah, really. You forget these things.
But I was just a kid myself.
Yeah, and I was more of a kid. Yes, more of a kid. But I have a caller there. See, I'm trying to get your age out there. That's okay. I have a caller there who wants to engage, so let me patch the caller through. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Caller girl, once? I hear somebody. No? There's no caller? So we hang up that, right? So a number of persons are concerned about Bay Street in general, but you mentioned that you see there is movement on Bay. There is opportunities for Bahamians to engage the port and I assume to participate in all of this. I had one texter ask if they can do pop-ups, like a pop-up shop at the port. I'm assuming if you talk to port people...
No, I don't think that there's an opportunity for pop-ups. No, I mean, well, I don't. I would be surprised. But, you know, and what's funny to me is when I hear people talk about how this is going to negatively impact Bahamian business, well, the people who are going to be making money at the port mm-hmm. are Bahamians.
Yes.
You know, they are Bahamians. They're going to be making money at the port. And as I indicated, we were able to see the space for the extensive ground transportation operation. Mm-hmm. And what I think that signals and what this new port ought to signal, I think, as just an observer, to business interests on the outside of the port is that this is your opportunity to up your game. Mm-hmm. This is your opportunity to up your game. And as Ed Fields pointed out, in 1997-98, when Royal Towers was constructed, there were hotels that started to upgrade and improve their facilities and their offerings. And so I think that, you know, this is a signal, as I said, to others outside the port. Okay, so we have this screen that's advertising things to do. We have the signs at the port, too, interestingly, that are saying this way to the world-famous straw market. I mean, so at the port, you're being told where the straw market is. You're being told, you know, you can go this way to leave the port facility. So now, again, we need to focus and be concerned on the outside offerings outside of this facility. So when those millions of passengers come off those ships and go into the cruise port facility and see this expansive area for ground transportation and decide to book a tour or hop a cab, where are they going to? What are they going to see? And that is also a part of this story. And it's something that we plan to explore. We've not actually yet, and this is another angle for us, we've not actually yet spoken to outside of the straw market, downtown business people, because I'm really interested in hearing their thing this will mean for them, because there are some, you know, there's still a couple little bohemian eateries and other places downtown. I think that there needs to be a major upgrade of just roads in that area, man. I was driving on Parliament Street the other day, and I remember thinking, this is literally the street where we have our court system and our parliament. The people who are in a position to affect change, the executive, that is, the politicians, the government, they drive on this street to and from leaving Parliament. They drive on this street. This flooded, pothole-filled, horrible road. I think just roadworks alone would up the game for downtown Nassau. And, of course, I mean, a particular focus on east of East Street.
I enjoyed this interview, Candia, and thanks very much for agreeing. I know you're busy. We're already out of time, but I can invite you again. I mean, so much information the Bahamas have gleaned just from...
Yeah, I think that, I think that those officials at the cruise port and the different stakeholders, because it's not just the cruise port, you know, they're the taxi cab drivers.
Yes.
You want to hear from them. How is this going to impact you? Mm-hmm. The musicians and entertainers union. You now that there's this space where there's supposed to be opportunities for live local entertainment. Mm-hmm. So I think and that we need to have conversations with all of these individuals to hear their concerns, to hear what they're looking forward to.